Essen ist fertig.
Okay, komme.
Mittags bei Henning.
Der Podcast mit Anja und Josie.
Herzlich willkommen mittags bei Henning, der Podcast mit Anja und Josie. And now I'm switch to English. So, hi Josie.
Hi.
And hi.
Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you too. And hi to our special guest, Lindsay.
Hi.
So now I'm just...
Your voice sounds so much nicer. I want to say hi again.
From before? Oh, no.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm just...
So happy to hear you.
Sorry, Josie, my turn now. I'm just going to do a quick... just going to introduce you quick so everyone knows who we're talking today. So this is Lindsay Horan. You changed to Paris, to Europe, in the age of 18, which was really surprising because you, said no to scholarship for college, which is really unusual. Then you played for Paris from 2012 to 2016, and that's when we met, actually, me, Josie, and you. So we played in one team. Then you moved back to USA. Played for Portland, or still playing for Portland. And 2018, you named MVP in the WNWSL, right?
There we go.
Yes.
Yep.
The professional league in America. 2015, you missed the World Cup in Canada due to an injury. And you watched the game in the stands, right?
Mm-hmm.
2016, you get the call up to the Olympics in Rio. And 2019, the biggest thing ever, you won the World Cup in France. Hi, Lindsay.
Woo-woo.
Thank you
good
for the
summer,
introduction,
Anya.
Yeah, that was great.
But now I've done it. My time is over now.
You killed it.
Okay, Josie, should we show what we're wearing under our jackets?
Oh, yes. Okay, Lindsay, look at this. Honestly, like, Anya, you can start. I mean, this is a nice jersey,
look at my
right?
jersey. We swept jersey once. You remember? I'm so proud. Okay.
I have your jersey at home.
So
cool. Oh, I wish I had mine on.
You weren't prepared as we were.
Yeah, it was spontaneous. Okay. Look to the... I never... I think I have this, like, 3 months now. And I never
3 months.
Wore it. Look at this. Do you know this t-shirt?
How did you get it? When did you get that?
I had to laugh so hard because it's actually perfect for our podcast now.
My God, it's amazing.
I don't know. First of all, it's a shirt. It's you heading the ball or towards the ball with your head.
Yeah.
Destroying one player. I don't know who that is, but...
Poor player. we were in Cincinnati, and I'd come onto the game, like, as a sub, and we were playing, I think, New Zealand. And the ball was, like, got played to me on the top of the 18, and I did this flying header. Somehow it went in.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, look at, like, you're like, you know, like Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, like...
No, don't say that name. You're not allowed to say that. Because everyone knows... Lindsay likes Messi.
She's calling me Ronaldo.
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's Messi.
Podcast.
Come on, he's like 150. but maybe we start with the name. What, Anya? What do you say about? Because we heard two things, huh?
Oh,
we heard we heard this name. So it says on my shirt. It says the great. By the way, do people say Horan, or do they say Horan? Are there some people who call you Horan?
Wait, do you guys know how to say it correctly?
Well, now I'm getting nervous.
Let's see if we're good friends.
I would usually say Horanimal.
So bad.
Or I say the great Horan.
Josie. You know how to say my name.
No. Yes. No, but I was actually like wondering, because you have two nicknames. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Like, how How do you get what, these nicknames?
What was the second nickname? Heranimal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, the Great Haran. I was in, I think it was my second or third national team camp, and I'd just come back from PSG. I played against Trinidad and Tobago, and I scored my first goal. And the next day, Rose Lavelle, my teammate on the national team, my Twitter was up on my computer, and she went, and you know how you can do a poll on Twitter? So she took my Twitter, did a poll on mine, and said, what should I nickname myself? And put either
no way.
The Great Haran, Haran Here's a Who, something else, or just Lindsay. And so this poll was up, and I was, like, in a meeting or something. And I come back, and, like, Rose and Emily Son are sitting there giggling and stuff. And I'm just like, what the heck happened? And finally, I go look over at my Twitter, and it had been up for, like, an hour. And I'm like, people are going to think I did this poll myself. And then it just stuck. The Great Haran stuck. And till this day, people call me that. And, like, that's what everyone, like, writes. It's...
Well, but for your country, I think that's very... democratic, you know, to ask people and then they can vote for your name.
So, that's how we do it these days. Yeah. Rose really killed me there. I was so mad at her.
Oh, that's amazing. And, by the way, I think you and Kosse Aslani, when we played Anya, I explained this now, when we played in Paris, we played with Kosse Aslani together, and you guys, because of you, I have Instagram. So you...
rightly so.
So for 2 years, my password for Instagram was Lindsay is the greatest or something like that. Like, please don't try it now because I don't know if I changed it. But it was something like that. So if my Instagram gets hacked now...
That's amazing.
I know, and I had to laugh so hard. Like 2 years after, I was
Lindsay
like,
is the greatest.
It is my password.
I forgot so, I made you get Instagram.
Oh, and Heranimal, does that exist? Does someone?
It definitely exists. That? I don't know how that started, and now I use it myself.
I like it.
But I called my parents like the real Heranimals. Because they're the first ones. Yeah.
No, but well done to Rose. I mean...
Yeah, great teammates you have, though.
I hate the name. Hate it.
Oh, whatever. Come on. No, but back to Paris. I think that's where we all met. And it's so nice to... and that's why I got this t-shirt. Because once you came back, it was just amazing to see how you came along, and like your full path was just packed of first problems, and then you turned them all into, I don't know, some magical film debut, I think. So that was very, very nice to see.
And really impressive, like to choose, in the age of 18 to move to another country or even continent. Do you say continent? Yeah, you know what I mean. So, it's like, I mean,
you could say.
There are a lot of players age 18 who not want to even leave their hometown like 5 hours away in the same country, and you move, totally far away.
I never asked you this, but was that like a really, really tough decision, or was it just so full of excitement that you want to do this and go to Paris that you never really thought about, like, would you leave?
Please hold for a very important message.
We're really sorry, but from this point on, we have some technical problems because the internet connection to Lindsay, to USA, is bad. So we have tried to pimp the audio file, and we believe that there is one or two topics between all the insider stories who are really important. So back to the phone call, back to Lindsay and the PSG question, and have fun, and we're really sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this, but I first initially went to Lyon when I was 17, And I went to train for 2 weeks in their like preseason camp, and the Lyon coach at the time was Patrice. And he offered me a contract, like a 4-year contract. And I hadn't finished high school, which I don't know if you say the same thing in Germany. High school is like right before college. So I didn't finish high school, and I was just like, I'm not ready to go. So I took like a year basically to finish high school and make my decision whether I wanted to go to college or if I wanted to go play pro. And it was like the most stressful year of my life.
Yeah.
Like it was not an easy decision. And you know, when you have just a lot of people that want to come in and give their opinion where you probably don't really want it or care about it. And like everyone wants to voice like what they think. So that was like really hard for me. And then like towards the end, I think ultimately I knew what I wanted to do. Like I didn't want to go to a university. I just wanted to play and make myself uncomfortable and get better in a different way. And I think that was like the best route for me. So I think in the end, I knew it all along that I wanted to go play pro, but it was just like, I felt like I needed approval from all these people, which I didn't. So I think it was like a big learning process for me where like I made a decision for myself, but it took so long just because like I put so much care into other people's opinion, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And at that age, right? So it's not like you're still trying to find like your way, like that's me. Okay. These decisions in the end, it's not like, ooh, that's me. I find myself. I always feel that's a little bit weird when people say they want to find themselves. They want to take a year off and find themselves. Well, how do you do it? Just by making decisions like this decision is me or not. Or,
right.
Yeah. But I think it's amazing.
I also want to say something. You know, when I came to Paris, it was like summer 2015, I guess. But you wasn't there, Lindsay, because you were injured and you came a little bit later because you had to fix your knee. So everyone, like, you know, the foreigners, because we spent time together because we couldn't talk to the French players because they don't know any English. So, we were hanging together and they were like, yeah, Lindsay, she's such a nice girl and you're going to like her. And, oh, she's so nice and one of the nicest person.
Thank
ever.
God.
And I was like, God, who's this Lindsay girl? Everyone is talking so good about her. Yeah. And then you came and I was like, oh, yeah, so true. So, this was really cool and was happy to also get to play with you, you know, some games because you left in winter. I came in summer, you left in winter. And I remember actually your last game we played against the other team from Paris. And I don't know, the day before we had like our final training before the game. And we were practicing heading after the practice, you know, because we had some time left and we used to shoot on the goal or whatever just to practice our finishing. And you, because you're really good at it, but I'm not. So you were like pushing me and you were like, hey, if you score with your head tomorrow, I don't know what you said actually, but we were just talking about then next day, the game, and I scored with my head.
Did you score with your head?
Yeah, and you were screaming because you were so happy for me and you celebrated like you scored a goal by yourself.
The World Cup.
Yeah, I was so so much supporting and I really liked that. And it was a really good game from you as well. And I remember that because it was our last game together and then you left. So it was fun. It was fun playing with you.
Can I say something?
Okay.
I was just talking to Nadine Ongerer. Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah.
I was talking about you two, obviously, because she knew we were doing this. And like we were first talking about Anya because I actually played directly with you, like up top. And I was like, Anya was one of my favorite forwards to ever play with.
Aww.
Just because like you knew the game so well and it was so fun and you were so nice to me, unlike some others. But I was just like, it was like such a joy, but like I didn't get enough time to play with her. I felt like,
unfortunately. So, true.
Were you happy that you could like leave, or what was the biggest point for leaving, like leaving France and going back?
So I was there 3.5 years and I had to break my contract in like November, which was the middle of our PSG season. And I think we were at maybe like round of 16 of Champions League at the time, maybe. Yeah. And Jill Ellis, who was the national team coach for the U.S. at the time, had brought me into a few camps, and she had a discussion with me saying, if you want a chance at making Olympic qualifying roster or the Olympics in general, like, you need to be in the U.S. And that's kind of how our national team operated back then, because we had so many camps that aren't FIFA date, which is where everyone trains at a certain time, all countries except the U.S. So it's more difficult for them to see me and whatnot. So basically I said, you know, my goal has always been to be on the national team and to make the Olympic roster. And, you know, those are dreams that we all have as a little kid. So for me, like, I never, never thought I would break a contract. Like, that was something like so hard for me, but like, I knew like I had to do it to make this dream come true. But it was like really, really tough for me leaving. Like, that game that you just spoke about against Juvisi was our last game. And I remember crying after the game. Like, it was, and it was more just like, I felt like I was letting down all my teammates that I wasn't going to be there for the rest of the season and whatnot. But
if I remember right, you're not a person who's not, you know, I saw you crying sometimes. Whether it was for the good or the bad.
Josie, I haven't gotten any better. Always crying.
Yeah, but
it's very sensitive.
I remember, because I feel the same. When you laugh so hard, and you know me, I have no eyes, right? When I'm laughing, I don't see anything. And
like me.
Yeah, and I'm that person when you laugh so hard that you cry directly. For always, always. So I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, with the national team, that's crazy, because I feel like it's so common right now to switch countries or clubs, that you move to another, from US to Europe or a different way. But right now it's more common than it was maybe like a couple of years ago. So you were one of, you know, maybe the example for you can do that, but still get into the national team.
Right.
But you did something like you did it on your own. And then I was wondering if at that time someone said to you, with 18 or 19, someone said to you, hey, by the way, I think you don't have a good chance if you do this to be or play in the national team. Was that a topic?
I don't know if it was those words exactly, but it was more like, you won't be seen as much, or it's like harder to see your games, like with Jill not here, and like, and also just like not going the university route. Like, that's just such a typical American thing. Like, that's the way to go. And it's only like on the men's side of the game where players will go overseas. Like, you see it so much in men's football right now, is these younger players that are incredible that, you know, decide to go overseas and skip college. But like for women, like, it was just not a thing. So it was more like, you're missing. And like, that's, you know, when you said finding yourself and like finding your way, like, that's what Americans think is the way. It's like in college that you find out who you are. So it was like, how are you going to find out who you are when you're in France in another country? There's a language barrier, like all those kind of things. And you're not going to develop that. But I think, like, once people saw me, they kind of realized I had to develop things in a different way and quicker. Like, I had to mature really, really quick. I was living with Anika, who...
yeah, just step in. It's Anike Gran, yeah, right? The German national team player. She quit now, but I don't know. Josie and Linz are laughing. But she's a really good one. She's a good one.
Yeah, but she's
no,
so... Like,
love Anika.
No. Yeah, but put them two next to each other.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They're the opposite. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So living with her, who... she's got to be like at least 8 years older than me. I don't know. Yeah. And I was 18 at the time. Like, I had to mature like that, or she was not having it. So,
yeah, and then I guess she's typical German, you know, right on time and all the
Yeah, but it's so good. Everything. She was the first, was she? Or was it Linda Prezenik? Yep. No, I think it was her. And then, it was
I think they
her.
Both came at the same time. They came at the same time.
Okay. So, and then they were the typical Germans. So when I came, and then later Anya, we were not German at all because...
Not German.
No. Not at all. So actually that was nice for me.
But
you're way better.
But Lindsay, I mean, I also have to say I'm actually really proud of you, like all like how the way you manage it and like just do the thing, like listen to yourself and probably to your family and do the things like, yeah, you feel right at this time and you sacrificed a lot. So, I mean, you're probably proud of yourself too. We don't have to talk about that. But is there something... You think it was really challenging in Paris at your time? Like, I mean, you've been there for some years, like.
Oh, do you have 4 hours for me to live? No, I think both of you guys could probably speak to this as well. But while we were at PSG, I think the culture in France is just very different than what we all experience and we're obviously all from different countries, so different in America, different in Germany, but it was hard in France, and I think the way they manage things, the way the coaches manage things, the way the staff manage things is just not what we feel is right. And I think there was a lot of things that happened to me there, and I think especially in the first year and a half with you know, I had, which I'm open to speaking about now, is, you know, the nutrition and the weight loss and the diet I was on and all those things, I think, was a very hard thing for me to deal with in another country with, you know, French people telling me what to do and what not to do and the way they went about it. So I think that was probably one of the hardest things that I've went through. And then, like, being able to compete and, you know, do my job at the same time. Like, I felt like I lost love for part of the game and like I just didn't know myself on the field anymore. And it was like an outside factor as well. So, and you guys probably know exactly what I'm saying. And you probably saw it with me as well. But that was like something that was just incredible to me is just like how they manage that. But again, it's like, do they know better? Because this is just how they do it in France, or was it just our staff or what? Like it's very interesting now looking back at the situation, like what was the main issue?
Yeah.
But and you have to do, like, if you want to talk, then you have to, like, first of all, you have to learn the language, right? And then you can talk about things because not all of, I don't want to say this, but French people, because you cannot put them all in one box, but some of them speak English, some can, but they don't want. And so it's it's hard and it's very tough. I remember my first, which is not a nutrition point, but the same topic, I guess, when it comes to like communication. The first injury I had was a rupture in my quad. And the first thing they did was they put with their thumb, they massaged in that in the injury and for me in Germany this is what we don't do at all, so you leave it because it's dangerous, so you can make it bigger. And in France in general, which that's something I learned when I played for Lyon as well, is that is something common. You do that, you massage. So actually I can't tell you why, but that's something they do. So and then you I mean, talk to a physio who learned this for 10 years and now he's very excited to practice it. And then you come in and you say, no, but at the end of the day, it's your body. Yeah. And it's a clear no. No, I don't. This is my body. No, that is something I had to learn as well.
Yeah. And I also can relate to some of your points. But for me, it was more like I came from Sweden, you know, a country which is really equal and everyone we treat the people like the same, you know, no one is better than someone else. And you come to France
and like, everyone's smiling and sunshine.
Exactly. And everyone fighting fighting their own battle and you like fighting for themselves, actually. There's not really like a team, and like it was more about like putting the picture on Instagram or Twitter like after the game instead of talking to your teammates about the game. You know, it was pretty weird for me, but yeah, I think like now when I see all of you, I think we don't have had the most easiest time or most easy time in France, but
yeah. But on the same or on the other side, you have like, I felt in 2 years I grew, I think it was not 2 years, it was 5 years of experience. That's how I felt when I when I left Paris, because it was my first year or first 2 years abroad. And there was so much stuff on my own. Like, even some Germans were there. On my own, I had to figure out some things. And it's like you said, you know, shit happened. But then you learn from it. Best case, you learn from it. So it doesn't happen again. So some good things happened. But
that's the craziest thing about it, is like, when people ask me about my experience and they know some of the things I've spoken about now, it's like, it's like, you know, it was a bad experience. Some of the things were really bad and really affected me, but now I'm like, I'm this person because of those experiences, and because like I learned this and this and this and how to make this decision. And like, at the same time, I had take away like the staff and some of the, you know, French people that were just French people. I had you two, I had Sager, I had Costa. These are all international players that I got to learn from and like become really good friends with. And that was like the biggest takeaway for me, is like, I have friends all over the world now that I got to learn about their experiences and learn from them as players as well, who have much more experience than me. So if I'd never had gone, like, I never would have these friendships and these people. And I know that sounds really cliche, but it's so true. Like, I had the best experience because of that.
No, it's not cliche. It's nice. No,
I like that. I like that. Because I feel the same. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you guys can relate, but sometimes I feel the nice people, like the really, like you two, the nice people, they don't survive in an environment where everything is, when it comes to money and when it comes to professional, you know, athletes and professional topics, and then money is involved. It gets a little dirty here and there. So you really have to know who you are. And when you're young, you don't know who you are. And so that's very hard to find a way of looking back, maybe here and there, say, I would have said something different, or I would have said, no, that's really my opinion, and I don't go away from that, because I think that's what healthy. And so sometimes I think it's very hard as a really not naive, but nice person. You have to make your own, like, in Germany, we say harte Schale. So you have to have a protection for yourself, you know, like something. You have to be outspoken, because otherwise you don't change anything. But there are some things you have to keep private, because that's for you. And to find a balance between that, that was really hard. And it took some time.
But Lindsay, I mean, of course, we also prepared for our nice podcast session. So we also asked a friend of yours about some things about you. So,
oh God,
you have good friends.
Do you want to tell us anything about your half volley and your practicing half volleys? And
I heard something about Philly. Is there something about Philly?
Is there a story behind you want to tell?
Who told you? Who said this? Yeah, tell me now, or I'm not telling the story.
We got this. A message. We got this anonym. We have no idea who this texted it, but we know that you're very proud of your skills for your half volley. So what happened?
Are you though?
are we talking about the one that went like literally out of the stadium, like, and they joke about it going into the river outside of? That's the one we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a volley. It was.
Oh, here come the excuses.
I feel like we were playing Germany, or
yeah, right.
No, I had this play. I think this is what they're talking about. It's either Tana or Rose. I don't know. Yeah, I'm right. I come into the game. I'm dribbling. Like, I had a good dribble. I dribbled, like, three players.
Oh, self-confidence is high.
Yeah. So confident. And I hit this ball. Guys, I don't know where it went, but it literally looked like it got it out of the stadium. And then the next day, you know, all the players that didn't play a lot of minutes trained the next day. So the next day we're out there training, and our assistant coach at the time, his name is Tony, he was just like, Lynn, I think your ball's in that river over there. And I'm like, what? And he's like, the ball you hit last night, you should go get it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
The great Lindsay kicked the ball. And well, I mean, it's far, so.
No. I had a lot of power. I'm really strong. I'm going to kill them, whoever said it.
No, you have very nice friends. I have to say, shout out, by the way. Thanks for all the stories.
There's another story, or Jersey?
No, what I was wondering is, because I have something I eat every day. So, I love fruits, so it's either...
I hate this already.
Hey, I was such a good instinct.
Okay, now I know for sure it's Emily Sonnet or Roosevelt. Which one?
I have never heard these names. So, no, I was just wondering if you have something you eat every day, like fruits or yogurt or maybe yogurt. I don't know. Do you have something like that?
I thought, like, after, you know, maybe 3 years, that the yogurt joke would be over with.
Yeah. I think we're there. We're in there.
This is where it's ending. Wait, do you guys know why I have a love for yogurt?
No,
that's why we want to hear it. Okay. This is your chance.
Actually, yeah, this is serious. So, you know... the dietitian I had in France, whatever the hell her name
is. Is that
was.
The one we saw like one time per month? And then I can't even remember, but
the one who fixed our feet.
This is not the same person, Anya, but okay. It would be a little bit weird. But okay. No, but you're right. There was
our feet. So no, not that person. So we had this dietitian. I can't remember her name. Freaking, I hated going to her. But she told me, you know, hey, instead of like having a dessert at night, like I have a solution for you. In her, you know, French accent. And she's like, a yogurt? A yogurt? How do they say it? And she's like, have a yogurt with des fruits, the fruit. And I'm like, so just like yogurt and fruit?
And you're like, where's my protein bar? Yeah, no.
I want some chocolate. But they have yogurt and fruit after every meal.
Yeah.
Do they not?
With sugar in it, like, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, this is amazing. By the way, that's the first time I saw that in our training camp in, where was it? In France, somewhere. And I just moved to Paris. And the breakfast was, like, honestly, I swear, the 10 girls sitting there having white yogurt and putting, like, minimum 3 bags of sugar, white sugar on top. And then not even like mix it, but just eat it like that. And maybe sometimes even the little cacao, you know, like chocolate cacao things on top. And I was whoa.
But you have to say they didn't allow tomato sauce or something else because of the sugar, you know. But they allowed
the
yogurt
and the apple juice, the apple juice and the orange juice. Wait, take it off. Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. So they eat 3 packs of sugar, of white sugar, and then and then the doctor goes around and she collects the butter and the apple juice. And I was like, well done. Your nutrition list
perfect.
Is
spot
weird.
On.
So true.
Yeah. And but that's the thing. Like, I mean, first of all, because that's a good topic, right? So nutrition is so important, and it's such a let's say dangerous topic for female athletes, because it's very mm-hmm. like, if someone tells you, well, I think you should, you know, be careful a little bit, that can be very toxic for a young person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it goes like this, and I'm snapping if you don't hear this. It goes like this, and then you go the wrong direction, and it gets in mm-hmm. your mind, and really, yeah, and that's really bad. So I had to see this nutritionist you were talking about as well, mm-hmm. and it was, but it's, that is something which is just to prove, hey, we did it, you know? Hey, we did yeah. it, you had yeah. to go there, bam, zack. But yeah. And this is why you like yogurt, but which is a good thing. Are you a coffee drinker or are you a tea drinker? Or water? What's that? Coffee? Cold brew.
Shitty coffee yeah. from Starbucks, right?
Ew, no brands.
Guys, we're in a bubble. We're in a bubble here in Utah. This is all I can get ordered yeah. to the hotel.
Right. Maybe you want to explain where you are and what you're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. We're in Salt Lake City, Utah, which it's like 90 to 100 degrees, which I don't know what that is in Celsius.
I don't know, Josie. Yeah, it's
really, hot. Really hot.
Just put it, yeah. put it on me, thanks.
And have you guys played in altitude, like really bad altitude?
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
So like where I'm from, Denver, is like super high altitude. We call it the Mile High City. So like you literally can't breathe there, and it takes probably 3 to 4 weeks to adjust. So here in Salt Lake City, it's the same thing. So it's horrible. So like the first week, like everyone's adjusting, but like you can't like get oxygen as quickly as you would anywhere else.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like if you're
neat.
Sea level. Yeah.
We had this
so, like,
in, where was it? In under 20 World Cup in Chile. And we had very bad turf.
Yes.
So fourth generation, or which is the baddest generation, I don't know. So, and the stadiums yeah. were closed. So the heat goes up. And then you have oh. no air to breathe. It's mm-hmm. disgusting.
Yeah. So we're on turf as well until the semifinal and final. And we play, our games are in the morning at 10:30 in the morning or 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
Because of the heat and the turf and the altitude, everything. Like they have to do this.
Okay.
So, but
very good conditions.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, okay. Yeah, but no, that's another discussion. I mean, if you know, because of Corona, if you do it or not, that's not something, it's important too. But I think we, do we have some questions, Anya? Should we drop
yeah,
some questions?
I mean, we almost come to the end because we want to finish it around 40, 50 minutes because we're always talking too much. And then it's like, you know, too long. And
no.
we feel like, you know,
I know,
but Josie, do you have any question or should I go first? Because you go, Josie.
I had 15 questions and then Anya said no, we can't. No, sorry. I was like, okay. No, but we asked you to, maybe we do that. We asked you to choose some songs because that's something we ask our guests. And did you think
just tell us and maybe the story behind it's always good to know.
Are these like my favorite song?
Yeah, or maybe something you listen before a game or something you just like.
You guys know I love like hard rap, right?
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, just
because we're all best friends and you remember that I listen to hardcore rap.
I just told Anya before the podcast, I told her, but you know, I don't know if we should ask that question because she loves rap and really like, you know, just drop
I
it.
Knew you would say it.
Yeah. Tell us.
I, Eminem.
Okay.
And
the
Drake,
one with,
that's all I listen
which
to.
Which song?
Which one?
Eminem.
Oh, are we going to play it?
No, we just want to put it on the list, but we need the song, you know?
Okay. Let me make sure I get the right song for you. My favorite song right now. Is
scrolling
oh my
through
gosh,
your list?
Yes. Actually, I changed my mind. My favorite
okay.
song right now is Rockstar by DaBaby.
Okay. By who?
Mm-hmm. DaBaby.
DaBaby.
Oh, okay, okay, sorry.
DaBaby.
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
This is, by the way, how I called you, because you were a baby when we played together.
Yeah, baby bird. Goodness.
Okay, one more.
Okay, one more. Saint Tropez by Post Malone.
Oh, this is an old okay. one.
Hey, I said we're not judging Anya.
I knew you guys were going to judge me. That's why I didn't want to pick songs.
Okay.
No.
Well, thanks.
By the way, Anya, thanks for putting up my brother's song, which is on the list as well. And you said you like it. So I thought that was a nice move. Thanks.
Yeah. I like that. I don't know. Did you meet Josie's brother, Lindsay?
I don't think I've met him, have I?
I don't know, but I saw so many pictures of your brother that I feel like I met him.
No, you've met my brother. You guys have met my brother.
I met your parents, but not your brother, though. But
yeah,
no,
maybe he did. Yeah.
He came one time. And you guys have all met my, at least my dad.
Yeah, but Josie, yeah, who for those who don't know, Josie's brother is actually a musician.
Yeah, it sounds very French.
Be confident in your English.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know, is it autobiographisch, his songs, Josie?
All of them? And
yeah, okay.
Yeah, really.
I would say his last song,
80% about love, but in different kinds. So friendship or, you know, so it's I love it.
Yeah, Josie, do you have one more question? Maybe you want to know something from Lindsay we don't know yet? What could that be?
You know, it's tough. No, I think it's always nice to hear about, like, when you open up about hard times, because that's something which is not, you know, so nice to talk about. But so I think it's very important. So on the other side, maybe you have, like, one of your best moments and you feel like that was something special. I could imagine something that happened, like, 1 year ago, maybe, a couple days ago. And maybe because I feel like you, like, in your country, it's always a big parade. And I saw you were going on a tour. It was crazy. Is there something you, like, a little story where you say that was actually a very nice moment where I realized what's happening?
Honestly, one of my favorite moments from the World Cup was my first game against Thailand. And I know we won 13-0 and we got judged very highly on our goal celebration and everything. But so I scored my first goal and my friend, Jordan Angeli, who's incredible, she was like in the stands and she was doing recordings of like a lot of the parents. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but she was right next to my parents when I scored the goal. And she got a video recording of my parents celebrating. And it was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. And every time I watch it, I cry. I literally just saw this the other day because it was kind of like the 1 year anniversary of winning the World Cup. And Jordan had posted it. And I started bawling my eyes out again. But it's just like, you know, for us, I think we don't like always understand how like a parent feels. You know, for their daughter or their son who are athletes that are like going through this immense pressure at all times. So like, you know, I know my parents knew like I had this goal all of my life to play professional soccer, be on the national team, to be in a World Cup, scoring a goal. Like, so I think that moment was just like so like cool for them. And like you kind of forget like what it like how proud your parents are when they see something like that or your friends or just like your loved ones when they see something. So I think that moment in itself was like just so special because you don't get to see it.
And
like,
it's so special that they recorded it. Like, I mean, how cool is that? That actually in this moment, someone is next to your parents recording it, how their dream comes true through you as well. Like not in a weird way, but in a beautiful way. So that is so nice. Yeah. I would have cried probably.
Yeah.
Get this goosebumps feeling right now because.
I'll send you guys the video.
Yeah, I mean, everyone probably expect to say, yeah, when winning the World Cup and stuff, but like, this is a special moment, you know, it's not like...
Yeah.
And how hard for mommies and daddies, like, honestly, to watch your daughter or your son playing or doing whatever they, you know, what is so important for them. And I would, like, literally, I honestly understand this now, but I didn't at the time, because it's so, like... When my mom said, I can't watch the game, I'm like, what? Are you not supporting me? Or what?
Yeah.
But it's so mean. If you,
my mom gets more stressed than I do. I swear to God. She'll text me and be like, are you nervous today? And I'm like, well, not yet. We play it in like 10 hours. And she's like, I can't eat. I can't, like, I can't focus. I'm so nervous. And I was like, Mom, you're making me nervous. Stop.
Yeah.
So funny.
No, that was, I think that was a beautiful moment. Shall we close with that, Anya? I think that was a nice one, right?
Sounds good.
Oh.
Yeah, you're a little bit disappointed. You want to keep on talking, huh?
Yeah, me too.
No, I just miss my friend.
Yeah, actually, we wanted to come over, but we have
to...
Yeah,
actually, we would right now, like, you know, so, but unfortunately, something came in between, but we're planning it next year.
Yeah. Then we're coming and Anya is cheering and I'm painting your game, and then we can have a live podcast somewhere.
Yeah.
Anya, you know, I think about a year ago, I messaged Josie on Instagram, which took her probably like 2 months to respond to me. But I said, can you please paint me something? Like, I love your artwork and I love art. And I'm like, can you please? Like, that would be the coolest present ever. Never painted me anything.
No.
It's not like you're around the corner, lady. Okay, so
I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for the painting. I just want something.
Yeah, Josie,
you're not paying for it. Anya, let's go over there and we'll paint there. That's
next
10,000 times better.
Next summer.
Do I get to keep the painting?
No, I'm not. I'm just gonna get like I'm gonna go home with it again. No, I would love to do that, honestly. And of course, you get a painting. And thanks again so much that you're such a great guest and so honest and lovely as you are and smiley. And we both are very proud of you, I think. Right, Anya? That is something we wanted to say.
Don't make me cry.
Yeah, no, it was an honor talking to you again. Like, it's been some months, some years. So it was nice seeing you as well.
I know.
And thanks that you just like, you know, I ask you just like randomly, like, hey, you want to be a part of our session? You just said yes, like it would be...
This is the best like thing ever. This is so much better than any interview or podcast.
Oh, that's a good compliment.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, it is.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Okay.
Goodbye then.
Thank you for having me.
Goodbye. See, that's German. Goodbye then. Okay, that was it. Done.
Okay, Anika. Okay. I'm out.
No, thanks so much. And we hope to see you soon and you stay healthy and fit.
True. Yeah.